Thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the DSJMP network. Squabblebox with myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, is a live, interactive debate show that airs on Siren FM every Friday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. You'll hear throughout the show that we like to take your opinions and views on different topics. When listening live, you can contact us by going to @SirenFM and the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk. However, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, you can do by going to our own Twitter @Squabblebox, our email squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or our Facebook fan page, you guessed it, Squabblebox. For legal reasons, the music that airs live on the show has had to be edited out of the podcast. Please get in touch, we love hearing from you, and we hope you enjoy the show. Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. That was Meghan Trainor with All About That Bass. We are Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, are here. We are Squabblebox. We're your interactive debate show, and we're going to be with you for the next 2 hours. As always, we're going to be taking your requests throughout the show, and one of those things that we're asking you today is we are going to be talking about your favourite panel shows. You can let us know yours on Twitter @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. But first,
yes,
Maisie, can you believe that this week a record £35.1 million was claimed on the UK lotto?
I can, because you told me about it the other day.
Because obviously this happened a few months ago, where everyone was getting really, really excited because it got to a really, really high number. I think it was like nearly 60 million.
Yeah, it was around about there, yeah.
And then it got split between
two tickets.
But one
was never claimed.
No, it was claimed. This is a new lotto.
Is this a new lotto? I thought this was related to the other lotto.
No. Okay. This is a brand new one from this week, where it was £35.1 million, which is a huge jackpot. However, usually they go, oh, but it's going to end up being split between two or
normally,
three people.
Yeah.
Well, only one ticket won, and it's been claimed. So they have broken the record. So what we are asking you this morning is, we want to know, if you won £35.1 million, what would you do first?
Specifically what you would do first.
Yeah, the first thing you would do. Like I say, you can get in touch @SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, Maisie, what is the first thing you would do with £35.1 million?
I would probably faint. I feel like I would be in too much disbelief to, yeah, ever actually think it was mine.
Yeah, I think I would as well. And what would be the first thing that you would spend it on?
I think I'd go on like just one really big shopping trip.
Yes.
And just treat myself to all the things that over the past few months I've told myself I can't have because I haven't got enough money.
Yeah, I think I'd do that as well, because like as much as we say like, oh, I'd like to, you know, I'd be nice with the money and I'd like maybe give some to charity.
No, we're too selfish for that.
Or save it for a rainy day. I do think that when you win something like 35.1 million, you've got enough in the bank to just go on one big all-out shopping spree and not even break into 2% of that money.
Yeah, it would feel pretty good. I mean, afterwards I would do the sensible thing and invest it and give some to charities that I believe in and stuff like that. But the first thing is shopping trip, which is probably the most basic answer.
Well, the BBC have put together a list of things that the winner could spend the money on.
What, the whole lump sum?
Yes.
Okay.
The first thing is a shopping centre, home to an Argos and a Poundland in Barking, East London. They could buy a whole shopping centre. A rare blue moon diamond set in a rare blue moon diamond set in a ring.
Okay.
They could also get 7 private Rolling Stones concerts.
Consecutive, one after the other.
Yeah, just one after the other.
Well, that would be like 14 hours of entertainment.
If I was the Rolling Stones, I'd do 7.
Yeah.
7 for 35 million. An 8-foot yellow and blue painting by Mark Rothko.
Ooh.
And this is my favourite, because this came out earlier this week. An entire village in North Yorkshire with cash spare for renovating your 21-bed mansion. Have you heard about this?
Wait, so there's a town in Huddersfield.
In North Yorkshire.
Sorry, I'm getting confused. So in North Yorkshire, there's a town that's worth...
Basically...
A town that's for sale.
There was a guy that owned this entire village.
Yeah.
That had quite a few houses, and it was a decent-sized village, but he owned the whole thing.
Yeah.
And a 21-bed mansion in that village. However, he's now passed away this week, and he didn't have an heir to pass it on to, so it's been put up for sale. However, what he used to do was even though he owned it all, he rented it out very, very cheaply.
Yeah.
To people to help his local village. Basically, he's come into money and then helped his entire village by buying their houses and
investing in everything so that they wouldn't...
And renting it very cheap. But now they're worried that some big company will come in and buy the whole village and start charging and kicking out the residents.
Oh, that's a shame.
However, if you won that $35.1 million, you could buy that village. I think it was up for $20 million.
Yeah, then so you'd have plenty of spare to renovate.
Yeah, so you'd have plenty of spare to... but that'd be brilliant. Imagine if someone in that village has won that lottery, because they haven't come forward.
Have they not?
No, they've not come forward. However, like we say, we want you to get in touch and let us know what you would do with £35.1 million, the first thing you would go out and do. I've always said that if I won the lottery, I would... I'd go on a big holiday, and I've always wanted to visit America.
You'd go on a cruise, let's be honest.
No,
you'd
go
on a cruise with a bunch of retired pensioners.
Don't talk about my grandparents like that. No, I would take my grandparents on a cruise, because they've taken me on many cruises.
Yeah, I think you owe them.
I think I do owe them. However, I would love to go visit America. I'd love to go to Madison Square Garden. I'd love to go to a WrestleMania. I'm not going anything to do with wrestling, because Maisie will shout at me for bringing it up
again.
I'm
sorry. The time that I've spent with you between yesterday evening and this morning, you've mentioned wrestling for probably about 90% of the conversations we've held.
It's WrestleMania week, Maisie. That's what happens. However, I'd love to go.
It's not even... The things you're talking about aren't even WrestleMania. You managed to make talking about films about wrestling.
I would love to go to America, though, and just travel. I'd get a big RV, a driver, because I can't drive, and just drive me down America.
That's going to take you ages.
Well, I'd have 35 million. I wouldn't need to work. So
you wouldn't need to work, but... It would be so much more cost effective, because you still have to be cost effective.
Yes,
there's no
of
point
course.
Wasting money.
Yes.
But, you know, you could still go from, you know, to get from states to states in America, unless they're right next to each other, it's a lot easier just to get a plane.
Yeah, that is true. So, like
it's
I say,
well.
Get in touch, let us know what you would spend, the first thing you would spend when you win £35.1 million. Let us know on Twitter, @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Maisie, I think it's time to head into the first song of the morning.
Is it?
What are we heading into?
It is Is That Love by Squeeze.
Stay tuned. You've left my ring by the soap. Now is that love? You cleaned me out, you could say.
My bed, the finger points. Now is that love? The more you cool down, The ease your love is found, now that is love.
You are listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, and we're going to be with you until 1 o'clock, talking now about what would you spend £35.1 million on if you had won the lottery on Wednesday night. We've been asking you to send in your answers. You can get in touch with us in the many different ways on at Siren FM on Twitter, studio at sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, Maisie.
Me? What? Yes, sorry, I was distracted.
So, Maisie, we are looking at these. Where would you most like to go on, if you were going to go on holiday somewhere with that 35.1 million, where would you like to go?
Oh, I don't know. Ooh. But I have the option of literally anywhere that's, you know. Yeah, that's weird, because when you're not restricted by budgets and pricing, you could literally go to any hotel, most countries.
Yeah.
The only problem is getting the visa. I suppose that actually I wouldn't go outside of the UK first.
No.
The first holiday I would pick is I would take my whole family, or at least there's a thing that my family does where we go to this very specific hotel spa.
Okay.
At least the... the generation above me does,
yeah,
because I don't have the money for that. But yeah, my grandma takes my aunt and my mum at least once a year, and then sometimes we go by they'll go by themselves or with other friends.
Yeah,
and it's sort of a nice family tradition, and I'd like to take everyone there all at once.
Oh, that'd
because
be good.
There's only one time that we've all been, all of the women in my family.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I mean, I've mentioned that I'd like to go to America. I'd like to go to Japan for similar reasons.
For wrestling.
Yes.
Not because of the high culture and the great sort of experience that you'll have, and the way that you'll grow as a person by experiencing these new cultures, by meeting new people,
no,
by broadening your horizons. You want to go to wrestling.
No, I would be. I would be broadening my horizons. However, we have had some messages in. We got a message in from Fran in Lincoln, who says that the first thing she would do is book a holiday to Australia. Would you like to go to Australia?
I would love to go to Australia at some point.
Now, the thing about Australia is people say, oh, you need to go see... You can go to Australia and you can go see the real Australia, which is sort of like the outback and everything. I mean, I recently watched The Last Leg Goes Down Under.
Yeah.
Where the three hosts off of The Last Leg went to Australia.
Off of The Last Leg. From The Last Leg.
From The Last Leg. Sorry, Maisie. they went to the outback in Australia and went on a road trip through there. And, wow, I don't think I could have done it.
I don't think it would be the first... the first time I go to Australia, I would do all the tourist stuff.
Yes.
The opera house, the harbours, that place where they found Nemo.
Yeah.
Was the harbour, I think, actually. But, you know, I would do all of that stuff, I think, in the first trip, and then the outback would be something that you'd kind of have to build up to.
Yeah.
Especially because I don't do well in heat. The hottest place I've ever been is France. Which is still in the middle of summer, it's still pretty hot.
Yeah.
But I could barely manage it. That being said, I was 8.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Holidays seem to be a theme at the minute, because lots of people have been commenting saying
it's
where
escapism.
They would like to go on holiday. I think it really is.
It's like if you had $1 million, it's like you get millions and millions of pounds, and the first thing you want to do is leave.
Yeah. we got a message in from Owen from Lincoln, who says that he would like to go to Thailand, specifically to ride an elephant, he's been to Thailand and he would like to go back there because he rode an elephant and it was awesome.
Oh, okay.
I've never been to Thailand. Have you?
No,
The
hottest place I've been is France. I actually, most of my holidays do take place in the UK. I love UK holidays.
Yeah.
I think they're very underutilized. UK holidays, because we have such a rich culture and such a massive amount of history, And you can see that so easily. There's castles everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
And cathedrals here in Lincoln, just up the hill.
Exactly. Well, that's the main reason my mum comes to visit me, because she really likes the cathedral.
But yeah, going back to Thailand, I've never been to Thailand, but my my stepdad and my stepbrother have been to Thailand.
Did they go together?
Yeah, they went together. And my stepbrother, he's the one, I think I've mentioned it before, when we went to Scotland and we convinced him that he needed to change his... One, he needed to bring his passport. And two, he needed to change his money to Scottish money.
To be fair, in Scotland, they prefer you to use Scottish pounds.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm bringing that up is because when they went to Thailand, we... Brett went to go and get his money for Craig, and he told me he was going to do this, and we worked on it together. Basically, he used the money. He went to exchange the money from the bank, came back from the bank with the official sort of bags that they give you with the money. But we took the real money out and put in. We didn't want to go with Monopoly money because we thought that'd be too obvious.
Yeah,
so
it's got Monopoly written on it.
So we went with Game of Life money. We put Game of Life money.
Game of Life money have the logo on it?
He said Hasbro on it. So we took the Game of Life money and gave it him, and he was like, oh wow. He says, this doesn't look real. This isn't real. I went, yeah, it is. So we convinced him that it was real, to the point where he took a selfie with it and put it on Facebook, saying, look at all this money that I've got.
Oh no.
He then went to Thailand with the money.
But this got all the way across the world.
And the worst part is, Brett went to the airport. And they opened Brett's bag, and he obviously had in Craig's money. And they were going for a month, so he had quite a lot of money. And they pulled him to one side at the airport, Brett, to go check his bag because he had all this money in it. And they had to talk to him, and he was trying to explain to the people at the airport, no, I'm tricking him, and he's got a load of Game of Life on his bag.
Wouldn't it just be easier to say, I'm holding it for both of us?
I think you're only allowed to take so much or something.
Oh, right.
But basically, they got to Thailand, and everything was closed because there'd been something going on, so there was nowhere to get, like, there was one bar open to go get drinks.
Yeah.
And they got there, and he went straight up to the bar to Craig. And put the money down, and the guy just gave him a funny look, and Brett went, no, come on, this isn't the place to be making the joke. But he actually got all the way to Thailand before realising that it was Game of Life money.
I don't think I could have been I wouldn't have been able to think of something like that to start with. But I think... I don't think I'd been able to keep it that straight all the way to a different country. I would have broken down after just passing it to them.
Oh, it was funny, and hearing about it when...
Wait, so he posted it on Facebook and no one pointed out that it was the wrong money.
No.
So it's not only his dad and you that are tricking him. Everyone else he knows on social media decided to just go with it.
Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant. It really was. Now, like we say, we've been talking about the big lottery win this week. Mm-hmm. Record-breaking UK Lotto win, £35.1 million won by a single ticket. The person hasn't come forward, so maybe it's you. So you can answer this question quite honestly. What would be the first thing that you would spend if you won £35.1 million on the lottery? We've had one more in here that says, this is from Chris in Lincoln, who says that he would invest it first. Then the first thing he would invest it in would be a football club.
Oh.
And he said he'd love to own Barnsley, because it is his local team.
Yeah.
And I can see why. I mean, if I was to own Huddersfield Town, I wouldn't want to own Huddersfield Town.
No, because then everybody in your town, if stuff goes wrong, you're the one to blame.
Yeah, and that's been the problem with Dean Hoyle, who is owner at the minute, because he's made a lot of... He was a Huddersfield Town fan, always has been since a little kid. He's made a lot of money, and then he's bought Huddersfield Town.
Yeah.
And, like, he's done quite well, and, you know, he's done really, really nice thing for the fans this year, where season tickets have been reduced, like...
Massively.
60% off, and it's, like, a massive, massive reduction, and that's from... That's his way of giving back to the fans, because they've made a bit more money because they've been promoted in the leagues over the last few years. However, I wouldn't want to take the risk of I wouldn't want to take the risk of a whole load of my own people not liking me and chanting about me while I'm. Plus, I wouldn't want to move into the director's end. I'd want to stay seated in the same seat that I've sat in for the last 10 years, third row, middle of the pitch.
If you say so. And my problem is that, yeah, if I had that money, I could own a team of any sport, pretty much. I could get an F1 team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what I'm doing.
No.
I would just own the company. I would have to get someone else to actually do all the stuff.
That's what most owners do, to be honest, in football clubs and sports
teams. I'd rather, if I'm going to manage something, I'd rather be hands-on and actually know what it was.
In a football team, though, you own the club, but then you hire a manager.
Oh, yeah, you got the manager, but then there's still decisions that are down to the owner.
Of course, yeah, it's like...
And they're the big decisions.
It's like recently, last year, Salford City were bought by by five ex-Manchester United players, the class of 92.
Yeah.
And they ended up buying Salford City, and it had a big backlash because people were saying that, you know, they're not going to put in all the effort and they're going to be off doing their own careers. Mm. But they have actually made a documentary for the BBC. And it's been commissioned for a second series that they're filming at the minute. However, it showed how much effort they've been putting in to try and make it the best thing for the fans, but also it showed the backlash that they got and how they've won the fans around. So it's a really, really good documentary. But yeah, I don't think I would buy a football club because I think it's a losing venture 90% of the time.
Yeah, you have to know the business well.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is that with that amount of money, it's a great opportunity to start businesses.
Of course.
But you need to know business.
Yeah.
Or you need to have a partner that knows business.
I mean, I'm surprised that you haven't said that you'd put it into starting your own sort of company or getting something off the ground, because you're a film and TV student.
Yeah. I mean, my only issue with that is that if I have that money and I invest it wisely, then I don't have to work.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true.
I, as much as I do really have I do have a very strong passion for film and TV and radio.
Yeah.
I still would rather not work the rest of my life if I had the option.
That is true. Now, Maisie, I think it's time to head into another song. What are we heading into?
We are heading into Drive By a Brave Train. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned.
On the other side of the street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
That was Drive by Train. We are Squabblebox, your interactive debate show. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, are going to be with you until 1 o'clock, where we will head over to Joe Hayden and the Events Hour. We've been taking all of your stories of what you would do if you had £35.1 million after the UK Lotto jackpot was won on Wednesday, a record-breaking £35.1 million. But now we are going to we'll take them more as the show goes on. However, now we're going to move on to our next talking point of the show, which is your favorite panel shows. Now, Maisie, panel shows, you're a film and TV student. Describe what a panel show is.
Oh, but panel shows are quite difficult because normally panel shows would be considered a quiz, but a lot of the time it's not so much about who wins or getting the answer right. It's more about talking about things that are possibly topical, whether that's topical to the events that are going around the world, or whether that's sort of more specific things. Like if you have a theme of the week.
Yes.
But I think to register a panel show, you need a panel of people, pretty much. I think that's all you really need.
All right.
Whether they're experts, whether they're celebrities, whether they're comedians, or whether they're actually just the general public but that are giving a consensus about something.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I think of panel shows, I think of, and we'll get into them as the show goes on, I think of comedy panel shows, first of all, which they don't always have to be comedy.
My automatic thought when it comes to panel shows is topical panel shows that are about weekly news.
Normally with celebrities and comedians. However, actually, I'd quite like to see a panel show that had the general public in it. Or does that get more counted as a game show?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends whether are you... Because there's a sort of a weird balance, because you would consider a show like Mock the Week on the BBC.
Yes.
You would consider that a panel show.
Yes.
That's a weekly panel show. But in reality, they are actually in competition with each other. It's basically two panels against each other, even though in reality, and it's been said many times on the show itself, the points don't matter.
Yeah, the point system
they're
don't
more
make
just
sense
a way of transitioning between what they do.
Yeah. Darryl Breen just says, and the points go to
it doesn't have a specific purpose, but then at the same time, you could consider QI a panel show.
Yeah.
Also for the BBC. In that situation, the points are counted. There's a person who's in charge of keeping score.
Yeah.
And although it's not very clear to the audience how that scoring works, especially because obviously the it gets edited down.
Yes.
To the point where there are points missing from the full extent of it, because they've said something interesting but it wasn't relevant, so they've taken it out for the shorter
version.
That's
probably why Mock the Week doesn't use, like, it just says the points go to instead of giving specific points.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's funny that you mention it, because there is that thin line between game shows and panel shows, one that we've had sent in already. You can get in touch with us. Let us know your favourite panel shows at Siren FM on Twitter, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, the first one that we've had sent in is from Fran in Lincoln, who says, Big Fat Quiz of the Year.
Now,
is that a game show or is that a panel show? It's really difficult.
It treads the line, and it can be both. This is the thing. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be black and white.
Yes.
Because with all television at the moment, the genres are being blurred more and more.
Yes.
You get romantic, thriller, drama, horrors. So why not have a panel show, game show?
Yeah.
It kind of works. I think any game show, once you put celebrity participants into it, it becomes more of a panel show, because it becomes more about the person that's playing rather than the actual answers.
Yeah, it's a bit like this next one that we've had sent in. We got this one sent in from Doreen in Huddersfield. She sent it in last night on the Facebook page, and it says that her favourite panel show is Countdown. Now, I'd count that as a, in its original form, I would count Countdown as a game show.
Yes.
But since the 8 out of 10 Cats crew have taken over and done their own
evening version,
8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown, I'd say that is more of a panel show.
Yeah. And I think the reason for that is because it crosses the line between having members of the public being the competitors to having teams of two celebrities mostly comedians.
Yes.
And I think that's where that's where you get the difference, especially because the way that the 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown does it is that it's actually a panel. It is a panel.
Yes.
Because you have two versus two rather than one versus one.
And they also have the guest, which obviously the normal Countdown have as well. And they have, like, different comedians coming on as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that the Cats Does Countdown version is a panel show, whereas the original Countdown is a game show. We're going to have to do game shows another week.
We are.
Because that's a whole other can of worms to open. However, like I say, get in touch with us. Let us know your favourite panel shows. Maisie, what's your favourite panel show?
Ooh, actually,
I've thrown you on the spot there, haven't I?
My favourite panel show is pretty much any that you can get on radio. BBC Radio 4 is very good for panel shows.
Okay. Yeah, because you were telling me this last night. Actually, a lot of panel shows that are on television start on the radio.
Yeah, especially with the BBC and the way that that sort of pool ends up travelling is basically a lot of stuff before it goes onto television, especially for public service broadcasters, it will be tested on radio first.
Yes.
And it's a well-known tradition for the BBC. I mean, a lot of your favourite sitcoms started on one BBC radio channel.
Yes.
And as well as that, most of the panel shows that you watch now have already been screened during a trial period on the radio, where on the radio it's carried on just as much as it has on television.
Yeah.
So one of your favourites, I know, is Would I Lie to You?
Yes.
And this was something I was explaining to you the other day, is Would I Lie to You is actually very similar and is probably derived from a radio panel show known as The Unbelievable Truth.
Ah, yes.
Now, The Unbelievable Truth concentrates a little bit more on the point system, and it plays more like a game show, but it is very much about the panellists, because the panellists are always comedians. And the whole point of The Unbelievable Truth, the rules are different, but it's the same concept. It's about trying to deceive the other people. Whereas with Would I Lie to You, you're trying to convince everyone that what you're saying is true. In The Unbelievable Truth, you're actually constantly saying lies, but you're hiding truths within them.
Yes.
And it's about pointing at the lies. I could go in forever for the rules of it, but it takes too long. It's like trying to explain Just a Minute as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without deviation, hesitation, and the other ones, because I can never remember it all the way through.
I tell you what, though, another panel show that I would class our friends over at Behind the Headlines, that is a panel show.
Yeah, every to week, some extent.
He's got a different set of panel on to talk about the weekly news. That is a radio panel show.
Yeah, and I suppose Question Time is also a panel show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing what counts as a panel show and what doesn't count. There are no real set rules. So we want you to get in touch with us and let us know your favourite panel shows. Get in touch with us on Twitter, @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, Maisie, I think it's time to head into another song. What are we going to play next?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
You're just going to play it then and...
Well, you just keep assuming that I've got everything set up. You don't tell me what you want next, despite the fact I asked.
Maisie's finally snapped at me. I knew it was going to happen.
And you're
one
just
day.
You're just assuming that I'm already over here.
Yeah.
What about my needs, Kai?
Oh, so
we'll be right back after this.
Siren 107.3 FM.
Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, and we are talking about your favourite panel shows. We want to know some of your favourites. Get in touch with us @SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, Maisie...
Yes.
Let's have a look at what some people have sent in for... Now, this is one that I didn't recognise. We've had it sent in, and it's from Chris in Lincoln, who says one of his favourite panel shows is Duck Quacks Don't Echo.
I have heard of this.
This was presented by Lee Mack.
Yes.
Now, I've never heard of it. However, he says what they used to do is they used to try out facts... and see if they were scientifically true. Now, I've never heard of this one. I was hoping that you might have, but...
I have, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, if people have seen that, please let us know what it's about, because we really don't know much about it, to be quite honest with you, and I'm quite interested to check that one out. I think that's one that I'm going to go away from today and check out a little bit more. So thanks for that one, Chris. Keep sending them in.
Yeah, during the break, I did quickly look up the proper definition of a panel show.
Oh, right.
I was slightly inaccurate because, specifically, a panel show or panel game is a radio or television game show which consists of a panel of celebrity participants. The participants may compete with each other, such as on the news quiz, which was one of my favourites.
Ah, yes.
And facilitate play by non-celebrity participants, such as Match Game or Blankety Blank.
Oh,
or
right.
Do both, such as Wait, Don't Tell Me. Those are all being examples of different types of panel shows. So yeah, a panel show is actually a game show. I always assumed that it was something separate. But it does seem to be that there's a celebrity, at least one celebrity, needs to be present for it to be a panel show.
All right,
by this one definition.
Well, we learn something new every day. Now, one of the ones that I mentioned here, that it's one of the more iconic ones on TV at the minute, and actually, it's got a bit of a bad rap the last few years because people have said that it's not as good as it used to be. Well, that's what they say about a lot of panel shows at the minute. However, Mock the Week. Are you a fan of Mock the Week, Maisie?
I've always loved Mock the Week.
Yeah, so have I. I've always really, really liked it, but people have said that since a lot of the original cast have left, I mean, it used to have Russell Howard on there, it used to have Frankie Boyle on there, Andy Parsons has now left, it has lost a lot of its sort of core.
Yeah, it's recurring guests, to, for lack of a better phrase.
Yes.
I mean, but that's the thing, is it's about weekly topical events, and the problem is that as if you're talking about things in real time, then it means that in real time, everybody has to move on at some point.
Yes.
Because a lot of the reasons people left was either because of controversy that they caused, because of...
Not naming any names.
Or because they had to go on and do their own thing.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that it's expected, I mean, from what you hear of audiences a lot, is it's a constant sort of a need for, or at least this is what it sounds like when people say that, is it's a constant need for this sort of repetition.
Yeah.
Basically, because it's the idea that everyone's really closed off to change.
Yeah.
In reality, not really, because they still get very good figures.
Yeah, I like Mock the Week. I think that it gets too bad press that it doesn't deserve, and I think that it's a fun show that it is a bit... I can imagine it being intimidating as a new comedian coming on there, because it is sort of like... It's one of those shows, I think Andy Parsons was the one who described it as being like... They're all jumping in trying to get it's six comedians trying to get a joke in, plus then the host is also trying to get the jokes in as well, and you've got to really fight for your time on that show.
Yeah, and it'll be the same on any panel show, especially any panel show that has a vast amount of comedians, because that's their job. Their job is to be the quickest and the funniest and the wittiest, and the problem that you get when you put so many in a room together, including the one person who's supposed to be controlling the whole situation, that's when you end up in a situation like Mock the Week, where if you've ever seen their sort of Too Hot for TV segments where they'll show you behind-the-scenes stuff, you see an awful lot of outtakes where it's just a barrage of jokes that they know won't go into the show.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
then one person and the host trying to calm them all down, and then everything gets flared up again.
One of the things that I like about it is the scenes we'd like to see section.
Okay.
The the bit where they've got to, like, they get given sort of a topic. Not even a topic.
They get given a scenario.
Yeah, a scenario, and you've got to make a joke about that. I'd be interested to see, because I know we've got American listeners, and a lot of them listen on the repeat when it's posted as a podcast onto the DSJMP network. I'd like to know what the American equivalent is to something like this. Do you think it's... I've never really watched it, but Saturday Night Live? Is that a bit similar to Mock the Week?
No.
Or is that more like something like Live at the Apollo?
Well, as far as I'm aware, the closest thing to at least that sort of... to the sort of topical game thing would be Whose Line Is It Anyway, even though it started off in the UK.
Yes.
But Whose Line Is It Anyway has the exact same game, just done differently.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, yeah, get in touch with us and let us know your favourite panel shows. We'll be taking them for the next just over an hour or so before we head into Joe Hayden and the Events Hour. We're going to be heading into the news soon. However, we want to set you up with another quiz.
Another quiz that Kai wants to make too easy.
Apparently, these quizzes have been too easy, so this one's going to be a little bit
different.
You're
making them too easy to Google as well.
Shall we ask for the year and the other bit? I think we should. Right, what we want to know is what year was this released, this next song, and we want to know how high did it rank in the US Billboard chart. So that's the year that it was released, and how high did it rank in the US Billboard chart. Don't Google it. Let us know on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, on the Facebook fan page Squabblebox, or just come and knock on the window here in the in the Siren FM studios. We'll come and take your answers. Right, so we are going to head into this now. Stay tuned for the news, and we'll be right back very, very soon. Stay tuned. This is Siren FM. If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, serving USA. Surfing USA. Everybody's gone surfing. Surfing USA. Everybody's gone surfing. Surfing USA. Yeah, everybody's gone surfing. Surfing USA. You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. That was Surfing USA by the Beach Boys. Now, we apologise. That was our quiz question from before the break. However, a little bit of a technical difficulty. However, that is the one that we have asked you. We want to know, what year was the Beach Boys' Surfing USA released, and what, how high did it rank in the US Billboard charts? Let us know in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Now, Maisie, last week we had a friend of the show, Tom Stevens, on to talk about his return to Siren FM with Siren Simply Jazz. And he has sent us in a message saying, can you remind everyone that Tuesday's show will be repeated tonight on Siren FM at 10 p.m. until 12 p.m. And the repeat is also available to listen back to on the Siren FM website. That's www.sirenonline.co.uk. You can find out much more on that website about us, about Behind the Headlines, about Simply Jazz, about everything else that is going on right here on Siren FM. Now, Maisie, we've been talking about everyone's favourite panel shows this morning,
And the very loose descriptions that defines a panel show.
That we have
because looking further in, other programs that count as panel shows includes Loose Women on ITV.
Yeah.
Which is not a game show, yeah, but so I'm very confused.
I would class that as a panel show.
It was a panel of women and men who discussed general topics.
So would that say that? So would they say that Top Gear is a panel show as well?
Well,
or the old version of Top Gear, and the new version?
I don't know.
What is a panel? What is this world?
For me, when I think of panel shows, and when I think specifically of panel, I think of people who are already, who like sat behind a desk.
Yeah.
But that's just sort of what your automatic assumption is. It doesn't necessarily need to be that, especially because doing FTV means that we're always told to push the boundaries, you know. News reporters don't need to be behind desks anymore.
I've learned so much in the past hour and 7 minutes. And
that's just because you spent an hour and 7 minutes with me.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there was the issue that we had the other night.
Yes.
Where you sent me a message quite late in the evening. I was nearly asleep at this point.
Let me put some background to this. Maisie, whenever we watch TV, because she does a film and TV course, she always points out those little things that only
people who do film
and TV and study about it at university will notice. And she's pointed out so much while myself and her have been watching TV.
It's an automatic reaction, and I mainly do it with colours.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the way that colour is used, especially in televisions and even like sitcoms and stuff.
So I was watching a film the other night, and I noticed that both the main two love interest characters in this film had been wearing matching sort of clothing throughout the entire film, and then I sent her a picture of them both wearing white.
Yeah, you picked the worst choice because it was in a scene where they were in a swimming pool anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I find when I talk about film and TV with Maisie. So we've been asking you about your favourite panel shows. Keep letting us know them all, and we've got plenty to talk about as the show goes on. This one sent in from Fran in Lincoln, who says, A League of Their Own.
Ooh.
Do you like A League of Their Own?
Kind of. I've watched it. I liked it.
This is the James Corden-fronted sports panel show, which I always found, because I watched a little bit of A Question of Sport, which is a very, very popular, or used to be at least, extremely popular panel show. Now, I didn't find it that interesting. I find A League of Their Own a lot more fun. And the guys that they've got on there at the minute, Freddie Flintoff, Jamie Redknapp, James Corden and Jack Whitehall, they are so good friends, and you can tell how good mates they are. And that, I think, really adds to the show.
Well, yeah, because when for the play that James Corden won all sorts of fancy awards for, One Man, Two Governors, which was based on A Servant of Two Masters,
yes,
which is a very old play.
Commedia dell'arte. Hey, we're remembering stuff from theatre studies, Maisie.
It's actually useful in everyday life. When we were told the story of the first leg of that tour, when the drama group from our college went to go see it, they saw it where Jack Whitehall and
John Bishop he used to be on the show, yeah,
were also in the theatre at the same time watching just as support, and ended up getting pulled up on stage for the audience participation section.
I do love A League of Their Own. I think it's very, very entertaining, and hearing about all the and you read about a lot of the stories from behind the scenes with that it just seems like such a fun show to be a part of. Other ones that I'm trying to think of ones that off the top of my head, ones that I enjoy, panel shows I really like, Have I Got News For You.
Okay.
Now this has been running for many, 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 many years. Do you watch Have I Got News For You, Maisie?
Yes, I used to watch it religiously because it's a big one that my parents are really into.
For people who don't know about Have I Got News For You, it's a comedy panel show that talks about the week's news. Mm. And I did find it interesting that the one after the... because they were on air the day after the election.
Yes.
last year, and it was during filming that, or at least they recorded it the day after the election,
yeah.
Because it actually showed that halfway through, they were talking about, they did this whole segment talking about this person, and then they found out that they'd resigned or lost, and they had to, and they had to turn around and go, okay, well, and they actually announced it live on the show, and other politicians that were on the show as well, like, were reacting live to it, which I found really, really interesting.
Well, live at the time of recording.
Yes.
Because most panel shows are done, even the topical ones are done even a few days before.
Yes.
Because otherwise they're not topical, but at the same time they can't be live.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find out how long, because we were talking about Mott the Week earlier. That's been running since 2005, so that's a very, very long-running panel show.
I mean, a lot of the really well-established ones are very long-running. I don't know that many newer panel shows that I watch, actually.
No.
No.
Have I Got News for You is currently in its 51st series.
What's in it? What's this? Sorry.
Have I Got News for You is currently in its 51st series.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's been running since 1990. 51 series. That's a long time to be running. But and people say, oh, it's not as good as it used to be, but I disagree. I think it's one of those that really depends on what's going on in politics.
This seems to be a very sort of general consensus of panel shows, is that they're very easily subjective to change and people don't seem to like it.
Yeah. So let's shoot through a few more. Another one that is on this list that I know you like.
Mm.
Taskmaster.
Would Taskmaster count as a panel show?
It's on this list, because the reason why we started doing this was because I got inspiration from reading an article where a website has put together their top 20 panel shows, and Taskmaster is on there at number 12, and that's quite high to say that it's only had one series.
Yeah, but yeah. I really enjoyed Taskmaster, but I wouldn't consider it a panel show.
But let's just, for argument's sake,
For a start, let's explain that Taskmaster, the reason why I don't believe it to be a panel show is mainly because basically what happens is it's Greg Davis hosting it. And With Alex Horn and five comedians.
Yes.
All well-known comedians as well.
Yeah, that's one thing I was really surprised at, but yeah.
Mainly because they're all friends. And then he gives them ridiculous tasks each week, and they go out and do it, and whoever does it the best wins.
Yeah, and there is one segment that I think the iconic scene from that first series, segment from that first series, is the one where Greg Davis, the task was to bribe Greg Davis.
No, it wasn't to bribe him, it was to buy him... They all got they were all given £20.
Yes, that's it.
And they had to buy him a present.
Yeah. And
the best
his
present would get the would get the points.
Won. And Josh Widdicombe won the points there because he spent £20 getting the name Greg tattooed on his foot.
Yep.
Which is amazing to think that he...
It's commitment. I'll
it really is.
That.
You couldn't not give him the points for that, could you?
Well, he still has the tattoo as well.
Well, of course, yeah.
But now, this is one of the things, is that I wouldn't consider it a panel show because they're not really discussing anything other than what they did that particular day.
No. No.
I don't know.
It's weird.
This is the
think.
Problem with it being such a loose sort of thing.
Another one that... another panel show that's on this list, it came in at number 20, however I believe it should never be on this list, and they do talk about how awful it was. Do you remember I Love My Country?
I don't. I remember hearing about it, and I know it was a thing.
It had Frank Skinner and Mickey Flanagan on it, and it was probably one of the worst panel shows in BBC history, in my opinion.
In your personal opinion.
Not the opinions of Siren FM, Squabblebox, or Maisie. However, yeah, it just seemed really, really weird, and the questions on it were super easy, and it...
And the concept feels a little bit... It feels like the concept is really trying to aim for a sort of national and cultural pride.
Yeah.
But it feels very stagnated and very forced.
Yeah, it was... 2013, so it was just after the 2012 Olympics where we had all this national pride and they wanted to try and capitalise on it, but it was an awful game show that had the one infamous question that was asked was, how many letters are there in the alphabet? And if you don't know that, then you shouldn't appearing on the panel show.
That being said, the English alphabet is different to other languages.
Yeah.
Because there are some depending on your language, the alphabet changes, because we don't, combined sounds we don't have in our alphabet, whereas a lot of other countries, a lot of other cultures will have the combined sounds like shushes and chus as separate in the alphabet.
I think it's time to head into another song now, Maisie.
We will indeed. This was requested in by our very own Tom Stevens, and it's Frank Sinatra, Come Dance With Me.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Pretty face, I know a swinging place. Come on, dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm swings, what lovely things I'll be saying. Things I'll be saying. For what is dancing but making love set to music playing when the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam? As we wing home, cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on and dance with me.
That was a bit of Frank Sinatra. We are Squabblebox, Lincoln. This is Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We're going to be with you for the next 40 minutes or so before sending you over to Joe Hayden and the Events Hour. Today we're talking about your favourite panel shows. But basically, I just caught this in the corner of my eye. I don't know whether you've noticed this.
I've been staring at it all day.
In the right corner of the Siren FM studio, there is a whiteboard.
And I love this whiteboard.
Sometimes there's like funny little messages on there.
Yeah, I mean, during the Easter break, there was a little bunny. There's always some. It's always a really sweet message.
And it says, currently, I'm going to put it up on Facebook as well, on the Facebook fan page, so check that out. It says, welcome to Siren FM. Have a wonderful week. And then it has, in a big bubble, only 37 weeks until Christmas.
Wouldn't it be really mean of me to do another bubble underneath it, which is only 3 weeks until deadlines? Is that too mean?
Yeah, I think that's too mean.
But I really want
people want to think about Christmas, not their deadlines at university.
They're coming up so much closer.
Earlier on in the show, we were talking about the UK lottery record win. £35.1 million was won on Wednesday evening. Now, Maisie, we did have another message in here. From Fran in Lincoln, we asked who, if you won £35.1 million, what would you spend it on?
First. What's the first thing you would buy?
And her response was, get a baby.
Wait, what?
Get a baby. Now, that sounds a lot worse probably than she meant it. I think she reworded that wrong. I don't think she meant she'll go out and buy a baby. I hope she means, like, you know, she'll have enough money to then be able to settle down with a family.
Or adopt.
But I think everyone needs to keep an eye on Fran if she ever wins the UK lotto.
Or just comes into a large amount of money.
Yes.
Or suddenly has a baby.
So, we are talking about your favourite panel shows. Keep getting in touch with us at SirenFM on Twitter, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Maisie, another panel show that I do quite enjoy.
Yeah.
Celebrity Juice.
I'm a bit hit and miss on Celebrity Juice. There are times I find it hilarious and times I think it's just too ridiculous.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I'm the sort of person that will watch Celebrity Juice more when it's someone on there that I'm interested in. If it's a load of reality stars that I'm not really interested in, I won't watch it. But
yeah, I think that is part of the issue, is that I'm really out of touch with some elements of pop culture. So when they sort of crop up in things that I quite like,
yes,
it does get really strange to sort of watch it and then not really understand why they're there or even why they're famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have that a lot where I see people who I don't recognise them from reality shows or as comedians, as actors, as singers, as songwriters. And it's not until I have a quick Google that I realise that they're famous for something that I've never even heard of before, and then I'm like three steps behind on pop culture knowledge.
Yeah, I do like a lot of people are a bit hit and miss on Keith Lemon. However, I think that Lee Francis is a brilliant, he's been brilliant to make that character so successful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been running since 2008 now, her Celebrity Juice.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than it seems.
Yeah. It really has.
Like, because the reoccurring panellists, or Holly Willoughby
and Fern Cotton, and it used to have Rufus Hound, who we saw in One Man, Two Governors,
what we mentioned earlier.
But now it's got Gino DiCampo, shall I say Gino Sheffield DiCampo.
What?
Because basically, they made a joke on here that on Celebrity Juice that Gino is actually from Sheffield, and that he's putting on the accent. So they made a bet basically on the show one week, and if Gino lost, he had to change his middle name to Gino Sheffield DiCampo
by deep hole.
And he lost, and it was shown next week on the show. He brought in the certificate thing to show that he is his name by deepole now is Gino Sheffield DiCampo.
That's pretty cool, though.
Which I find quite cool.
Some people really they really sort of get into it when it comes to sort of silly bets and arguments that crop up on panel shows.
Yeah,
we've already mentioned the Greg Davis tattoo.
Yeah. Now, this is one. Talking about that, this really links into it. Did you watch the ITV panel show last year, Safe Word?
Safe Word?
Yes.
I think I have, maybe?
Basically, what happens is they brought two celebrities on, and then there was two comedians on either side. And it was sort of like when you see these sort of, in America they do them a lot, the roast shows.
Oh, yes.
And they basically roast these comedians and take the mickey out of them, and they've got a safe word that they can say if they feel it's going too far or they want them to stop, and it's who can sit through the most of it. Now, it got into quite a bit of trouble, and a few people have said, like, Carol Vorderman recently said that she wasn't happy about being on the show, and Sunita got really, really annoyed after being on the show. However, what they do is they give the for one part of the show that I did like, because I thought some of it, the comedians weren't very funny and I didn't find it as good as it could have been. However, one part of the show I liked was they give over their social media accounts to the show, and the comedians can write whatever they want on their social media accounts pretending to be them, and they get points for every one that they allow them to post.
Okay.
And then if they feel like it's going too far, they can say their safe word.
I feel like, this just feels like an excuse to annoy people.
Yeah, it's coming back for a second series, so it might be worth a check out. However, I'm not... I'll probably give it another chance.
I suppose. I mean, when I think of sort of panel shows, I don't really... I don't know, because I prefer the ones where it tends to be sort of more collaborative.
Yes.
I don't know. It's something that I don't really like, is it's sort of embarrassing people on telly just for the sake of embarrassing them.
Sometimes it's nice to have nice comedy.
Yeah.
And that's...
That being said...
Go on, then.
Me, you, and our other roommates now have a new guilty pleasure when it comes to TV, don't we? Well, at least it's guilty for me.
I'm forgetting what we're talking about
it's
here.
It's this new show on ITV.
Oh,
with Philip Schofield.
You're back in the room. Now, that's not a panel show.
It's not a panel show, but it is a guilty pleasure show.
Yeah, if people haven't seen that, it's hilarious.
We discussed this at length at home. It's quite, nearly always we have a guilty pleasure show. It used to be Young, Free and Single Live.
Yeah, that was brilliant, yeah.
There was something else that we all used to watch.
To watch The Last Leg a lot.
Yeah, but that's not a guilty pleasure. Yeah. I'll happily say that I watched that for fun. And now it's You're Back in the Room, which is a game show based on the idea of five regular people from the public being hypnotised right before doing menial tasks.
And they're so easy tasks to do that anyone could do them. However, because they've had
suggestions put upon them, so they either think they're someone else, they think they're doing something else, or normally it's just a ruse to try and get to make Philip Schofield as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah. I've heard that the one on Saturday night is really, really funny, and I've seen a little clip from it, so I'm really looking forward to
that. This is the thing,
tomorrow.
I started explaining it to my mum as a sort of, isn't it awful, they're embarrassing these people on stage and they're being mean to Philip Schofield. And then the more I explained it to her, the more I came round to the idea of it, and I actually think I convinced my mum to start watching it. Because there's a lot of debate at the moment on whether it's fake or not, because it seems like not the panelists, because it's not a panel show.
Yes.
I've gone on a tangent. But basically, the idea that the contestants seem to be under suggestion very easily.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they discuss quite a lot about the fact that they...
They're put under these suggestions backstage.
Yeah, because they're legally not allowed to show the process that makes people this susceptible, because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
If you... Learning how to do this, it's so unethical.
And Philip Schofield has turned around in the past and said he would not, because Philip Schofield is a respected television presenter, and he's already said he would not be a part of it if it was in any way fake.
A hoax, yeah.
Yeah.
But even if they are just actors, these people that they get on the show, it does mean that they've kind of ruined their career a little bit, because it means that now they can't go on, they can't go on Coronation Street now, because everyone's going to know.
Yeah, that's true.
But even if they are actors, it's still really funny.
It really, really is. You can get in touch with us, let us know about your favourite panel shows. We're going to be taking them for the next half an hour or so before we head into Joe Hayden and the Events Hour. Get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page Squabblebox. Maisie, I think it's time to head into another song. What are we heading into?
We are heading into Formation by Beyoncé. We'll be right back after this.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. I slay. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that shit when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper.
Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, your interactive debate show, and today we have been talking about your favourite panel shows. Maisie, we've worked out that panel shows can mean many different things.
It can be literally anything. I've gotten to the point where I the, I might do my entire dissertation just trying to define what a panel show is.
Well, Maisie has discovered what she's doing for her dissertation.
Throw out all of the, like, 2 weeks' worth of research I've already done on my already chosen topic.
You've decided that this panel might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Now, there's one on this list here that I don't think it used to be counted as a panel show in its previous form. However, I would count it as a panel show
now. Is it now in its final form?
No. Room 101.
Ah!
You see, because before, when it was hosted by Nick Hancock...
That was a one-on-one discussion. Yes. Whereas now it's become a panel discussion.
With Frank Skinner.
Yeah.
And I like this show, and I think it... I've never actually watched the Nick Hancock version.
Because I'm assuming you know the reference to Room 101.
Yeah, I know that there is a ref. I don't know the entire...
You should do, because it's actually a book that you've read.
All right, what book?
Room 101 is a part of George Orwell's 1984.
Oh, I never finished it.
Room 1... Yeah, oh, that's disappointing.
It was a difficult book. I understand how great a piece of literature it is.
Yeah.
However, it's a very tough read.
See, the whole point of Room 101 in the book, slash films, because
yes,
there's been several, basically is the idea that... is that that's where if you step it, if you are punished, to punish you, you have to go to Room 101,
yeah,
which will be filled with your biggest fear.
Yeah.
And it's basically there to traumatise you into complying with the Big Brother way, which is the idea of Room 101, because the whole idea is that they're discussing things that make them uncomfortable, things that they are scared of. Things that they just... It's gotten to the point now where it's just things they don't like.
I think Room 101 could actually really work for us. We might have to do a Room 101 special.
We might do, because I've got many irrational fears.
I didn't know this, but did you know that Anne Robinson once got in trouble when appearing on Room 101 because she said that she was going to put the Welsh into Room 101?
Oh, no, that's not good. That's offensive.
And people, and it actually became, it became bulletin news that evening.
I'm not surprised.
Because so many people were really, really angry.
I'm surprised that the editors let that slip.
I know, I am as well. But I never knew about that, so I might need to do some
Hopefully
more.
She didn't win that round.
Hopefully not. Now, another one that has been, that's on this list of mine... Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
I used to love Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yes. You say used to. Do you mean since because it's been cancelled now?
It's been cancelled now. I kind of fell out of touch nearer the end. I was super into sort of punk rock music when I was a teenager, and I still like it now, but I'm not so heavily involved.
Yeah.
Because mainly because when I was a teenager, the people you hung out with was determined by what music you listened to.
Yeah.
So to keep up to date with it, that was one of the things I watched. Plus, back when I was a teenager, I only had an analog television. So I only had 5 channels. And on I think it was like a Tuesday night, right after Mock the Week, it was Nevermind the Buzzcocks. So I might as well carry on.
Nevermind the Buzzcocks is one that I do enjoy. I did enjoy. However, I wasn't really into... massively into that sort of music.
It introduced me to a lot of comedians that I really, really love. But Nevermind the Buzzcocks introduced me to Phil Jupitus, who I love. I absolutely love him. Phil Bailey and Simon Amstel.
Yeah, Simon Amstel is the one that people sort of say Simon Amstel was the epitome of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and they used to love him presenting it.
And then they went to guest presenters. But the guest presenters were really cool as well, because they had the Doctor Who special where David Tennant guest host.
Yeah, yeah, I did watch that. That was the first ever episode I watched, actually, because it was Doctor Who related. But the thing about it that I find is that I'm not a massive fan of Phil Jupitus. And I'm not
Which
a massive...
is weird, because I find that Phil Jupitus's humour reminds me a lot of home, because it's sort of... His way of looking at things is very similar to the way my dad does.
Maybe I need to look at some of his stand-up.
Also, some of his mannerisms remind me a lot of my own dad.
Fair
which
enough.
Which is probably why I find him very funny, because it's quite comforting, because it's very similar to the sense of humour that my dad has. Although I don't know if you'd appreciate me saying it.
I'm a big fan of Rod Gilbert as well. So when he was announced as the regular host for its final ever series, I did watch it for that. However, I think that I wish they'd have given it a little bit more time to let Rod settle in.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think my main thing of it is that it really was at a peak with Simon Amstel, because it was a type of show that he was used to, because he was doing Top of the Pops style morning shows anyway, but right before then. So he was already very comfortable in this sort of music, like in this sort of genre of music, in this genre of talking about music and talking about music and making it funny.
Yeah.
Although he had, there was a lot of times when he actually really pushed some of the panelist members, and it goes back to that idea of that we were talking about earlier, sort of embarrassing panelists or celebrities just for the sake of embarrassing them. And it was something he did where, and I can't remember who it was, but basically he started berating this reality star, and he did it by, as segments of the show, every like at the end of each segment, he would start reading embarrassing passages from his wife's bibliography.
Ah, oh, right.
Not bibliography, biography.
Biography, yeah.
because it was, because she was also a reality star, so it wasn't particularly well written. At least it wasn't particularly well, at least grammatically, because she wasn't a writer.
Yes.
And some of the stories she was telling would be considered risque, but that's the whole point of the book, was to bring out these stories. And he actually got, I don't know if he got in trouble himself, but he did for that. Basically, that panelist member, he did this about 3 times, and he just left.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Wow. I tell you what, Maisie, we'll head into another song now, and then we'll come back and do one final quickfire round of all the rest of the panel shows that we have not got round to
so
far.
Don't forget, we have a winner to announce.
Oh, we also have a winner to announce. We'll do that after this next song. Now, Maisie, what are we heading into?
Well, right after this, we are heading into Apply Some Pressure by Maximo Park. We'll be right back.
This is Siren 107.3 FM.
That was Apply Some Pressure, Maximo Park, and Maisie's giving me a look like, wow, that... Kai,
this
you
is
actually,
really cool.
You actually played some cool music, Kai.
No, it's not that your style isn't... Like, your style of music isn't cool. It's just so varied. I get surprised every time a new genre pops up.
Yeah, I was just telling you. Maximo Park, I saw at Bingley Music Festival. It was my first ever music festival, and they headlined.
I was told by a friend... He was a friend of mine at the time. I haven't... we lost contact after college, but basically he was trying to convince me that you can't like more, that you can't like everything.
He was
berating me about it, because I was trying to sort of explain to him, sort of like, yeah, there was some genres I prefer over others, but in reality, there's at least one song from every genre that I really like.
Yeah. I mean, I've even found a One Direction song that I like.
You've found quite a few One Direction songs.
Right.
Yes, you have.
We are talking... Oh, we were going to announce the winner of the quiz, Maisie.
We are indeed. We asked you earlier in the show for not only the date that this particular song was released... Well, the year this particular song was released, but how far it got in the...
US Billboard charts. The song that we asked was... it was Surfing USA by The Beach Boys.
A very well-known song, and definitely a family favourite, I know.
We had some incorrect answers, and we had one correct answer, and the winner... Once again, goes to Gary from Huddersfield, who got it correct with, it was 1963 that the song was released, and it got to number 3 in the US Billboard charts.
Ooh.
Congratulations, Gary. We had some other close answers, so we apologise to the people who got it wrong. Try again next week. Now, Maisie, we have a little bit more time left to carry on talking about our favourite, their favourite panel shows.
Or at the very least, just your favourite elements, because at this point, everything's a panel show.
Yeah, it's true. Lynn from Huddersfield has got in touch and said her favourite is Would I Lie to You? She loves it, especially the bit where they've got to guess who the person brought on is a friend or acquaintance or acquaintance.
The special guest
of,
segment, yes.
Yes. And she says, you can't help but love Lee Mack.
See, that's her personal opinion, but I do quite like Lee Mack.
Yes.
One thing that I really like about, I have a similar thing where I quite like the special guest segment of Would I Lie to You, but in my own life, I've tried to think, if I was ever on that show for whatever reason,
yes,
who would I get on for that segment? I'm trying to think of, like, because obviously these are people that that the researchers don't just surprise you. You have to bring that person with you.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think, I'm trying to think of stories where they're going to be interesting enough for television and I'll have a friend with me who was there at the time who can, you know, come along with me and tell that story as well. And I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah,
I've had such a boring life in that respect.
I've got some stories that I'd probably think of, but you can't repeat them on the radio. So.
You can't repeat them on the radio. You also couldn't repeat them on BBC even after the watershed.
But keep letting us know your favourite panel shows. Now, there's one on this list here, Maisie, that I've been leaving till last because I know you're going to start arguing with me. Because, well, I know that you love the panel show. The panel show is QI.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to turn around and say I'm not a fan of this, and I've told you this in the past.
Yeah. To be fair, I've gotten to the point where I can understand why people don't like it. I used to be a super heavy fangirl of it.
Well, this is the bit that you're not going to like. It's the reason why I don't like it is I'm not a massive fan of Stephen Fry.
Wait, what? I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I don't think.
I'm not a big, massive fan of Stephen Fry. Maybe that's because
you do love Blackadder, don't you?
Yeah, I do like Blackadder. Yeah.
And he's a major player in Blackadder.
Yeah.
Is it him? It's fine when he's playing someone else, but when it's just him,
I don't know. I'm not a massive fan of QI because I'm probably not a lot of the stuff. I'm not intelligent enough to.
Well, that's the whole point. Is that they're telling you things
from the little bit that I've seen. Alan Davis doesn't really.
Alan Davis plays the fool.
Yeah,
really. But no, the thing about QI is, and hence why it's called QI, is because it's about things that are quite interesting. It's about learning new stuff. Although that being said, it gets a lot of stigma for a lot of its facts being inaccurate.
Yes.
And when they find a thing that they were wrong about, a lot of the time they'll bring it up again to and sort of correct what it was that they said was wrong. Especially because, like, my mum being a historian, she watches it sometimes and she'll get annoyed because they've spoken about folk tales to do with certain kings and queens, and then they've displayed them as fact, even though there's actually no evidence for it. It's just an interesting story, even though it's not true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does get a lot of heat for that, although I feel like it would be really awesome to be one of the QI elves, which is the research team who find all of these interesting facts, because a lot of them are experts in a particular field. So they'll have the history elf, they'll have the film elf, they'll have the science elf.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure they have like subgenres of elf.
Yeah.
And that's just their cutesy little name for them.
Yeah. Now, other panel shows that we can think of that haven't already been mentioned. We've gone through a lot of panel shows.
That's because it's so vague.
Gary in Huddersfield has got in touch and said 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown. We mentioned briefly about that earlier.
Yeah, and then 8 out of 10 Cats itself as its own show, which it used to be. Do you remember when Countdown and 8 out of 10 Cats used to be two different things?
I prefer 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown.
Yeah, so do I. And I think the reason for that is because it feels like there's more of a structure to it.
Yeah.
Whereas with the 8 out of 10 Cats regularly, I feel like there's a lack of structure because it's not so much about winning, it's all about sort of creating entertainment and having entertaining conversations amongst themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a lot of comedy-based panel shows are about. They're not so much about getting the right answers or
yeah,
or teaching you anything new. It's all about being entertaining.
Exactly, exactly. One final one, which was one that I've quite enjoyed from this year. It came out, it's the first series, insert name here.
Now, I don't know this.
This is presented by Sue Perkins.
Okay.
And the two regular panel leaders. What do you call them?
I think they're called team leaders.
Team
normally.
Leaders. Yeah, the two team leaders are Josh Widdicombe and Richard Osman.
Well, already this sounds fantastic. Yeah. How have I not heard of this before?
And it's basically, they do the whole show about a famous name. Like, they take, well, they take a name, like, say, they took the name William.
Yeah.
And then they did, and then all the questions throughout the show are based on famous Williams.
Okay, so it's kind of like how QI works, where each series they have a letter, and that letter is, and each episode is based on a topic,
yeah,
starting with that letter. Okay,
yeah,
I get that, makes a lot of sense.
I watched a couple of episodes and I quite enjoyed it. And Sue Perkins is a host.
You can't,
you're gonna love
really
it.
Fault it.
Yeah, you can't fault it at
it's,
all.
It's a bit like Stephen Fry. It's illegal not to like her.
Yeah, and there is a second series coming soon.
I think so... I'm gonna have to give that one a go.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds great.
I'm sure we'll find it on BBC iPlayer at some point. Anyway,
you noticed that we've been talking mostly about the BBC?
Yeah.
They just seem to be like the monopoly of
panel shows. But that's what's brilliant about it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today, because it's time for us to wrap up now before sending you over. Remember to stay tuned after the news for Joe Hayden and the Events Hour. Thank you very much for everyone who has contributed, listened in today. We will be back right here next week. You can also remember to listen to this show again online on our Mixcloud page, on the Siren FM website, or on the DSJMP network on iTunes. Maisie, you got anything else left to say?
Only that it's been a fantastic show, and thank you very much for listening to us for the past 2 hours.
Yes. Now, this next song, I believe, are we going into a bit of David Bowie?
We are going into a bit of David Bowie.
For people who don't know, Dennis Davis, the lead drummer on this track, sadly passed away earlier this week. He lost his cancer battle. So this is our tribute to Dennis Davis. This is Heroes by David Bowie. Stay tuned for the rest of your day on Siren FM. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Squabblebox. We really, really appreciate your support. Another thing we really appreciate is our second home right here on the DSJMP network. And you can find all the other great shows here on DSJMP by going to www.dsjmp.com or searching for them on iTunes, where you can find some fantastic shows like the European Uppercut podcast, the Rasslecast, 10 to 1, The Toots Experience, and of course, Squabblebox. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you check out everything else on Siren FM and the DSJMP network. And we'll see you all right back here next week.